You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today on the On Inquirer podcast, Michael Tulip joins us to give his thoughts on Illinois basketball's big win over Missouri, 97-73. I know it was 5 days ago, recording this on a Wednesday, but we had the holidays to celebrate and hope you and your family had a very happy holidays. But we break it all down with Michael Tulip. How has Terrence Shannon taken his game to the next level? And what has gotten into Quincy Guerrier offensively? What does Coleman Hawkins' offensive emergence do for the Illini? And what do we think of Marcus Domask, who's not really hit his stride offensively, but still continues to make an impact? And then Mike looks ahead to Fairleigh Dickinson, a game he's going to call on the Big Ten Network. He'll be the analyst for that game. I was looking forward to seeing him on there. But also the Big Ten play, because Illinois starts with a really great opportunity in the Big Ten. As you look at the schedule, Northwestern, probably a tournament team. Illinois hosts them in the first game. Then they head to Mackey Arena to take on Purdue. And to potentially, it's the opportunity to take a two-game lead in the Big Ten over the Boilermakers, who already have a Big Ten loss to Northwestern. And then you have Michigan State and Maryland coming to Champaign as well. So big opportunity for Illinois potentially to show its might and show what it's made of, because, boy, December was pretty good for Illinois. Sure, they lost at a top 10 team in Tennessee, a missed opportunity, but they took advantage of all the other opportunities, including big wins on the road against Rutgers, a big win in neutral sites against Florida Atlantic and Missouri. We break it all down with Michael Tulip. That's coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast. This bustling holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, flavorful meals to fuel you on jam-packed days. Well, Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you eat well for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all of your holiday to-dos. Treat yourself to high-quality, delicious meals over the holidays. Choose from 35-plus chef-crafted meals every week that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences, whether it's calorie-smart, vegan and veggie, protein-plus, and more wholesome options. So cross meal prepping off your list this holiday season with Factor. Skip the meal planning, grocery shopping, chopping, prepping, and cleaning up, and get Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals delivered to your door. They're ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Head to factormeals.com/Illini50 and use code Illini50 to get 50% off. That's code Illini50 at factormeals.com/Illini50 to get 50% off. All right, it's time to catch up with Michael Tulip, our Illini Inquirer basketball analyst, and we got a good basketball team to talk about, Mike. And the last game we saw, emphatic 97-73 win over Missouri in the bragging rights game to get that trophy back. And but before we dive into this, you could tell this one mattered for Illinois after getting pushed around last year. You see Terrence Shannon, Coleman Hawkins come out the way they did, and just the veterans they had, Mike. So it felt that way. But what impressed you most about that win over Mizzou?
Yeah, it looked like Illinois looked like a team that fully expected to win that game, and they played like it. And I think, you know, there was no guessing. There was no wondering. It was foot on the gas really from the beginning of the game. And they picked apart that Mizzou team on both ends. That's a team that pressures, and all this talk about Illini point guard play. You only have 10 turnovers in the game. You dominate on the glass. I thought they really simplified things offensively even more so than previous games. And that's the result you end up with. But it all starts with having that belief that you're that type of team and then going out and executing that.
So it's hard not to bring him up every time. But Terrence Shannon is just playing at another level. Like, I said after the game, like, Io's last year, Kofi's last year, like, he's playing at that level. How has he elevated his game? When you're watching him, how has he taken his game to the next level?
I just mentioned no guessing and no wondering for the team. There's no guessing and no wondering for Terrence Shannon either. You can tell his disposition when he steps on the floor. He knows that there is not a player in college basketball that has more of an impact that's better than him right now. He's been that good, and he's playing like it. When you have a guy that believes that and is a leader on your team, the rest of the team tends to follow. So I think there's a number of areas that he's improved in, but him accepting that, yeah, and embracing that and understanding, and we've talked about this on previous pods, man, in order for these guys to be as good as they can be, I need to be as good as I can be for them. And he's certainly taken that to another level. But even on the offensive end, and these are all from Synergy, but transition as the pick and roll ball handler in spot up situations and isolations and handoffs, all of those different play types, he's over a point per possession. That's insane. And specifically in transition, we talk about it all the time, how electric he is in his combination of burst and speed. Io was also a guy that was pretty darn good in transition. The difference between the two of them, Io was very slippery in transition. Like, he just had a knack of like getting around you and finding his way in front of the rim. Terrence is going through you. You look at Synergy, his transition possessions, he has a 34% foul rate. That's insane. 34% of his transition possessions are fouls. And to contrast that with Io, who himself, like, he himself was incredible in transition, 11%.
Wow.
So and he's shooting 7 free throws a game. It's been incredible. And then what he's done defensively, part of that is when you have a good team to go alongside with you defensively, you can really play within your role and be darn good at it instead of having to overextend yourself to cover up others' mistakes. That's really accentuated his ability on that end floor. I think we saw that in the Colgate game as well.
Yeah, he's the main reason Illinois is the number 11 team in the country and probably the biggest threat to Purdue in the Big Ten, right? But, like, the supporting cast rising, right, these last couple weeks and this month in particular is a huge part of that. And Quincy Guerrier is a big part of that. Last three games, 21.6 points while shooting 10 of 18 from three. What is behind this, in your opinion? Is it just the wrist is healthy, or is it just he now knows what his role is on this team?
The latter, for sure. And I think, you know, depending on how much that wrist was affecting him, if it was and it's healthy now, then that may be a factor too. But just offensively, you get in a rhythm when you have an expectation and can visualize where your shots are coming from every game. And for him, it is in those corners. And when you get Terrence Shannon, because a lot of times on those roll replace actions, or if he's in the half court, he's getting to that left hand. And if you saw Mizzou, it is a cardinal sin. This tells you how good Terrence Shannon is. It is a cardinal sin to help in from the strong side corner. And that was literally their game plan. Their game plan was to commit a cardinal sin to stop Terrence Shannon. And it leads to those driving kick opportunities for Quincy. And inside out driving kick threes to the corner, it's the easiest three, and it's the highest percentage three in college basketball. And that's where he's getting his looks. So when you know that's where you're getting them, you can find a rhythm. But so it's the quality of looks that he's getting, but also the defense, the effort, the body language has never wavered,
yep,
for him, even through the struggles. And again, that puts you in position to turn things around. Like, water tends to find its level when you're in that headspace mentally, and he is. And man, his emergence, that you hit on it, that makes this team even more dangerous.
And his ability to take people off the bounce off of that, right? Like, to not just be a corner three guy. His ability to attack, like Brad Underwood kind of said, the idea of merging, you know, Syracuse, attack the basket, incredible rebounder with catch and shoot guy at Oregon, like, it feels like it's coming to fruition. I texted you, like, is this a crazy take? Like, Quincy Guerrier, can he be a pro? And he's just showing a skill set that's going to intrigue some people.
Yeah, when you're 6'8", you have length, you're smart, you can defend, and you can show that you can knock down outside shots. Those are the type of guys that tend to have cups of coffee in the league, or they're two-way guys, or they're, you know, really good in the G League and get a call up. So I'm not saying that after this five-game stretch that he's going to be a draft pick, but I will say that Tennessee game, he was their second best player. This game, he was their second best player. And when you win a lot of games in the Big Ten, you typically get more than one all Big Ten type of guy. Like, is his ceiling an all Big Ten third team maybe type of guy or honorable mention? For sure. I don't think that's out of the question for him.
Speaking of guys with pro potential, like, it feels like the Coleman Hawkins that the NBA is intrigued by has arrived. The last three games have been really good. 15 points on 5 of 10 shooting, his most efficient night, 3 of 5 from 3, and then he does all those other things that impact games that we keep talking about. What are you seeing from him? I mean, we know defensively. We bring it up all the time, Mike, but what are you seeing from him offensively where he's become a little bit more efficient? Seems like every game stacking on itself.
Yeah, when he's efficient offensively, it's icing on the cake given all that he does throughout the game. So that's where I think he has his moments for sure, but he's taken a step where he's taken a lot of the bad shots out of his game and forcing turnovers. Again, what they've done offensively, simplifying things, I think has helped him. It makes him play a little bit more free. They have certain principles. They put Coleman in the corner at times. They put Ty Rogers in the corner at times. And versatility is great, but there's also something to be said about knowing what your role is every single game. We get so caught up, oh, he can guard all five positions and he can do this. But what is your role coming into the game? And can you get really good at those things when you have just kind of a focused expectation and role? So, yeah, I think for him – he's had some of those pick-and-pop opportunities. Look, Mizzou, they wanted to gap help, and they switched 1 through 5 the whole game, which I'm not sure that's the best, strategy, because once they broke that pressure, they just had Coleman Hawkins run up to half court and set a high ball screen, get the switch, and now Coleman's got Nick Honor on him, and he's able to get on the glass because he's got a mismatch, and Nick Honor wants to run in at the ball, and now you get these catch-and-shoot attempts. When Coleman's shot ready off of a pick and pop, or when it's in the flow of the offense, he can shoot it. He can shoot it. And those percentages are going to go up if he continues to be mindful of that. But his impact has 100% been on display since he's returned from injury.
Marcus Domas ends with 10, 7, and 7. I love they made an impact despite shooting 0 for 7 from 3. Inconsistent with that shot. He's under 20% now from 3 on the season. Are you seeing anything, Mike, as a shooter? Whether it's confidence, form, anything with him? Because, man, you get him going with all this, you're getting greedy. He's still making an impact on games. What are you seeing from Domas?
Yeah, I think that's the contrast between Guerrier and Domas. I'm not sure Domas 100% knows where his threes, where his shots are going to come from. But for a guy like that, when it's not going to be a set place on the floor, you just got to have confidence in yourself as a shooter to knock those down. And he's been in the mid-30s. He was a little under 40% his freshman year at Southern. So there's going to be a course correction there, which is really bodes well for this Illini team, because odds are it's going to happen in conference play. And whether or not Terrence Shannon stays over that 40%, I don't think he's going to, and that's not
right.
An indictment on Terrence. I think he's just going to have to take some tough ones late clock. We've talked about that. But as Terrence course corrects a little bit, I think you're going to see Domas go the other way. And so that's going to balance itself out a little bit. But, yeah, I think maybe for him it's more of like a full court ball handling type of role mixed with, you know, what is expected defensively to play on this team. But all that said, you look at the box score, the dude played the most against Mizzou. He played 35 minutes. So regardless of if he's missing shots or 0 for 7, he still brings so much to the table, and it's really, really hard to take him off the floor.
Yeah, and he's shooting 87% from the free throw line, shooting a career high 59% from 2. So he's finding ways to be effective regardless of that. But you zoom out, Mike, and you look at the month of December. Like, we had huge questions about this team offensively coming into December. Well, defensively, they've been pretty good during the month of December, 35th in the country during these five-game smaller sample size, but still a big enough sample size, 35th in defensive efficiency. During these last five games, Illinois is 4th in the country in offensive efficiency, according to Bart Torvik. What's behind that? Like, besides making shots, like, what have you seen about how they've attacked teams, about how this staff has adjusted things.
We've talked about the point guard play. If you want to press Illinois, they've been really darn good against the press. I know there were a couple lapses against Missouri, but on the whole, look, you're going to have three-ish, four turnovers when teams run and jump like that the whole game. But the flip side of that is you're going to get some of the easiest looks you've had all season. If you can break it and get the ball up ahead, that's what FDU is going to do to you. So they've been able to be uber efficient because of that, because they've been able to break the pressure and get in some stuff. But I talked about the simplification of what they're doing offensively. After the game on Friday night, Brad Underwood held up his play sheet and was like, here are all these plays we have. We ran two. And now it's not that, hey, he called two set plays. It's that, hey, we really have two actions, continuities that we can play off of. And this is where really good teams offensively show themselves. If you're a bad offensive team, if you can't get through the initial action that should generate a basket, then now if you can't generate things in that mid clock, which is where players are like have to play because there's not something scripted or an action that you're running, or it's not, hey, late clock, I got to dance and get a shot up. You're not being told what to do, where it's a play to start the possession, or it's, hey, I got to get one up at the end of possession. All that inventiveness and feel for the game is really between like the 20 seconds and the 6 seconds of the shot clock when you have to cut, you have to move, you have to play off each other. And that's where they've started to turn a corner because they're falling into roles, because guys know where they are. I think one cool little wrinkle that they have, I talked about in the FAU game, Coleman Hawkins and Quincy and Ty Rogers, we're going to put you guys in the corner. And for Ty, you go and watch the Golden State Warriors, Kevon Looney, Draymond Green, when they get put in the corners because they're non-shooters, surrounded by shooters, and they still want spacing, those guys have principles in the corner that when they get a skip pass, it's not catch, look, or catch, like rip baseline. Watch next game. Watch against FDU. If there is a skip pass to the corner, Ty Rogers is now programmed because he has a guy off of him to go right into a catch and a flip with whoever's on the wing with him. And that is exploiting how you want to guard a non-shooter. Non-shooters, they completely sink. They put you in the middle of the paint, and they don't worry about you because Ty Rogers hasn't attempted a three all year. So how are we going to hurt teams with that? We're going to make Ty Rogers a dribble handoff guy and a screener. Because now you got Terrence Shannon or Damask or Garrett, whoever it may be, coming off free. Like, you're not – no one's up to touch or trapping off of it. So – Ty off these skip passes, he is right into it. And that is such a cool little wrinkle. It's simple, but guys know their roles and they're playing off of it. And then Terrence Shannon, who's a big part of this, has just taken that next step as a facilitator. And it's not showing up in terms of assists. I mean, I think he had per game, I think he had more assists last year.
Yeah.
But there's no question he is making the simpler read. His turnover percentage off of ball screens is down from last year. But it's, hey, guy commits to me, hit the guy in the corner. Guy sinks in from the low side, hit the skip guy. It's simple basketball. And when you play simple basketball, that's hard to scout for because now you're basing it off of guys just and their feel and not a set structure.
Felt like he could add 7 or 8 assists against Mizzou if his teammates made some of those shots.
Yeah.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Listen, the offseason was interesting. They didn't land the point guard, but Brad Underwood's a really good coach. And I think this offseason, this roster, the way they're playing, has his fingerprints all over it. Of course, keeping Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins is huge. I still give credit to Brad Underwood for some of those things. But I don't know, Mike. I just want to give you a moment. Like, this has been a really good 2 months for Brad Underwood, and the offseason leading into this. I just think he deserves some flowers for putting this team together, kind of sticking to his guns with what he wanted to do this offseason, because this is a good team. It's a really good team.
Yeah, I've noticed his demeanor in post-game press conferences.
He enjoys the hell out of this team.
He does, and there's certain things that even he, I don't want to say prognosticates, but certain things he says about this team that he was not saying about his team last year. Maybe that's fear of inflated ego, or, hey, can this team handle me praising them like this in the media? That's not to say he was not praising them in the media last year. He just kind of decided not to do that. This year, he's pretty forthcoming with how he feels about this team, and that's just a certain level of trust that you have with older guys.
Yep.
That, you know, they keep the main thing the main thing. This team hasn't really been distracted by anything. They treat each game with a certain amount of care, and but yeah, he deserves a ton of credit, because I think just as much as you could say he deserves the credit for bringing in older guys and surrounding Terrence Shannon, not wasting the return of Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins, surrounding them with younger guys that have to get up to speed for the first 14 games of a season. You went all in with experience and with age. And so you could probably say the same last year, where he was to blame for really putting a lot of trust in younger guys. And I understand, as a coach, you want to trust your players, but it's just hard nowadays to put a lot of that on younger guys and expect to have any type of consistency game to game. So he figured that out this offseason. He went out and addressed that. There's no question.
Yeah, there's one thing I've always been kind of interested with Brad, is his ability and the lack of ego to be able to pivot, to change his philosophy on whether he wants to run spread, or he wants to run ball screen, or he wants to run this, or he wants to build this way, and then he pivots. Like, I always feel like he's going to do what it takes to win. He's a competitor, so I've always found that really interesting, because he's a guy who's changed a lot, even in his time just at Illinois here.
Yeah, they've changed things this season.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, there's other things, too, where you can say there's a natural fear for some coaches, hey, I got to play this guy, because if I don't, he may leave. And he's just prioritized winning games. Mm-hmm. And
to some frustration of some fans that are nervous about that stuff, right?
Yeah, like, but that's the reality. I mean, we talked about it before, and I'm not going to belabor the point about giving guys that opportunity and they still leave. But, you know, he's really turned a corner with that, and he doesn't seem as worried about that. And they've changed their offense since the start of the season. There's less like split actions and more so, hey, let's play to our personnel, which I thought he did a great job with Kofi when he came in, where, hey, we played a certain defense, we played a certain offense, and now we got Kofi, which, granted, I'm not saying he discovered like the Da Vinci Code by throwing it into Kofi and playing drop with Kofi, but you played to the strengths of those guys. And I think he's gotten a lot. I will say, I think he's gotten a lot out of the players that have played. I mean, this is a chance this year. He has a chance to have his third All-American. And what's crazy is those are three All-American seasons after like 50-50 decisions on whether or not to come back from all three of them.
It probably defines his tenure, is the ability to get those guys back. And that's not easy, Mike. We know. Like, that's not easy to get these guys back and to have that trust from that level of player. So there's guys you can point to leaving, say, that one got away, like Podzimski or whatever. But, like, I don't want to dive into all of that, but you still get these most important All-Americans back for a season you didn't count on has been a huge reason for his success. And then to put the right pieces, whether it's Alfonso Plummer, putting him with Kofi Coburn, or now, you know, Guerrier and Domask around Terrence Shannon and Hawkins, it's he's done really well with it.
Yeah, and those guys were able to realize their potential with that added year.
Yeah.
I mean, Io comes back, you're a one seed. Kofi comes back, you win the Big Ten championship.
Yep.
Terrence comes back, we'll see. But the returns on it have been pretty damn good to start the season.
All right, Mike, Fairleigh Dickinson to wrap up the non-conference. You'll be on the call for Big Ten Network. Excited for that. But what do you want to see from the Illinois side of things in their final non-conference game here?
Yeah, I don't know if they deliberately scheduled this way, but for a team that quote unquote came into the season without a point guard, they're facing a lot of teams that run and jump and press and pick you up full court, and they're, and FDU is no exception. I mean, whether it's in Champaign or back at FDU or in Columbus in the regional against Purdue or on the moon, they will full court press you on dead balls, off made baskets, and they just create a lot of havoc. And you're going to have to deal with that. And the one thing that I really want to see from this team is, okay, great December so far. I think better than you might have expected, considering all things. I mean, you could have gone perfect with a win at Tennessee, obviously. But look, like, where's your focus? Are you already on to Big Ten play? Or can you stay disciplined and stay in the moment and tackle this last challenge of your non-conference slate? Because, you know, you come out of here, you take care of business against FDU, you're what, 10-2, mm-hmm. right? Heading into Big Ten play, you're already 1-0 in conference, and you see what happens. But I think there's just more trust in this team game by game to be consistent. And honestly, a lot of that has to do with Terrence Shannon.
Yeah.
Because I keep going back to that Penn State game at home last year. And it just looked like Terrence Shannon kind of wanted other guys to do things and sit back, and he had 4 points. He wasn't particularly great defensively, and you get your butt kicked. And so it's a lot of responsibility on a player game after game to take that on. But, you know, too much is given, much is expected.
Right.
And I think he's been good with that. But now comes the final non-conference slate, and now the marathon of Big Ten play.
Mike, personally, first game, right, on play-by-play here for the TV side?
BTN, yeah, I was able to do 2 games on ESPN Plus for the TBT this past summer, so not completely new, but it'll be nice compared to the TBT where it's just literally random guys. There's no history for the team. You don't really know what the coach typically does. Now you have a little bit of – luckily, we cover this team a fair amount.
That's so right.
I feel like there are some talking points, but I've definitely taken a dive into FDU. I went back and watched that FDU-Purdue game, which was just awesome. I mean, you talk about no fear. I mean, they came in and just smacked those guys in the mouth. Didn't care who they were, who Zach Edey was. Really cool to see. But, you know, this FDU team has – there's still 3 starters that are back from that team. So it's not like – hey, coach left and all the players left. Their backcourt's gone, but they still have some carryover from that team. I'm excited to wet the beak a little bit here on the BTN side.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it, man. What is prep like? Take people behind the scenes. What's prep like when you're an analyst for a Big Ten game like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is you start to learn that everyone kind of has their own style.
Yeah.
For prep, I mean, there's certainly people that I reach out to about that. People that have been in the industry for a long time, and you know, so it's watching FDU games, it's, you know, not just kind of resting on what you feel like you've learned about Illinois. You're trying to really take a 30,000 foot view and ask questions to yourself about, hey, this particular matchup, and, you know, how does Illinois combat this, and what to talk about. You definitely don't want to like over inundate yourself with information, because there's still an element of it where you have to go out there and just talk and be free and talk the game. So, but it's all a learning experience, man. I mean, this will be my 3rd game, first BTN game. Are there going to be some bumps in the road? 100%. I mean, it is even from those TBT games, there was no one in that gym.
Right.
Now you're in what is supposed to be a sold out arena, and letting the crowd noise come in, not over talking over things, letting the game breathe a little bit. That's all. You know, it's all a balance, and learning about yourself as a broadcaster. But there's challenge in that, but that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, getting these reps in is gonna be awesome. All right, Mike, we have a big sample size here for the Big Ten during this non-conference. How does Illinois stack up in this conference?
I mean, I think right now maybe you put Purdue like a tick above them, but if you want to put tiers, I think them and Purdue are kind of in their own tier at the moment. And what's really funny is I think Terrence Shannon is the best player in any conference other than the Big Ten. I think he still could have a chance. I mean, if Illinois wins the conference, I think Terrence Shannon would probably be the conference player of the year. But yeah, there's just that having arguably the two best players in college basketball right now in the conference, I think says a lot. But Illinois and Purdue, to me, are in that top tier. And then that kind of second tier, Wisconsin, I think has been better than people have expected. Now, they got dog-walked against Arizona. Arizona's a top-five team for a reason, but they're top 15 in offensive efficiency. But even defensively, I think they're top 30 or top 40. They've added some guys in the portal. Those guys, Wall and Crawl and Klesmit and those guys have been around. You want to talk about not being stubborn. I mean, guard has basically shelved Connor Assisian in some of these games, which is really surprising. You want to talk about being worried about someone walking. I mean, there's a kind of case in point right there. AJ Storr has just been that good at that two spot. So, and then, you know, I Ohio State's been good out of the gates. I think Bruce Thornton's been a first-team all-league type of guy. I think they've been able to shoot the ball extremely well. That's dipped a little bit in these past few games. And then Michigan State, I talked about overrated for sure coming into the season, probably a bit underrated right now. I still think that they can – they have enough talent and they have enough guys that have been around the block to finish in the top five in this conference or maybe make a run at it if they can – kind of gather that identity a little bit. So, and then good luck with the rest of the Big Ten. I, you know, whether it's Indiana or Maryland or, you know, Michigan, there's just a lot of teams that, you know, they not only struggle in certain areas, they're like really poor in certain areas. And those type of things get exploited in Big Ten play.
Yeah, and the first three for Illinois are like three teams that I feel are definitely probably going to make the tournament when you get Northwestern, Purdue, Michigan State. I know Michigan State's got work to do, but that's going to be a great test for Illinois. Like, and it's going to be a great opportunity with Illinois playing its best ball. They're healthy right now, Mike, to potentially get a little wiggle room there in the Big Ten. Like, you look at this first stretch in January, Northwestern at home, at Purdue, home against Michigan State, home against Maryland, like, That's a big opportunity to start this Big Ten playoff well and get some early separation potentially with some teams that you feel you're compete with.
Yeah, Purdue's already got a loss.
Yeah.
And I still think 15 plus, you're gonna have to win 15 plus to win the conference. I think even though Purdue has lost one already, I just think that they're gonna get to that 15-ish.
Yeah, there's just
not many. I mean, that's the guardrail you have with Zach Edey. It was the same thing with Kofi. So
yeah, there's just not many teams in the Big Ten that I think can compete with them. Like, I just don't think the conference outside of Illinois, Purdue, as you said, like, there's just not a lot of teams I see having a great chance to beat them on a given night.
No. And then two, I mean, think about it. You take care of business against FDU, and then you have a good run of it here to start, you know, to start January. You're gonna be climbing up the ranks there. Now, I'm not saying I don't want to just be laissez-faire about going into Mackey, because that's just shoot. I mean, can you imagine what the national media narrative is going to be if they take care of these next three, FDU, Northwestern, and then get a win at Purdue? It's going to be, I mean, you're already seeing Final Four picks from the Field of 68. I know there were some different parameters around that, but yeah, I mean, I think just, you know, you look at it, there's a lot to like about this Illinois team, and for good reason.
Yeah. All right, Mike, appreciate it as always. We will catch up next week and start to preview Big Ten play in depth. Appreciate the insight as always, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Great stuff as always from Michael Tulip. Later this week, we're going to talk Big Ten in general with Isaac Trotter. We'll get his thoughts on the Illini so far and look at the rest of the landscape in the Big Ten and maybe stack up Illinois nationally, because no one watches more college basketball that I know than Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports, national college basketball writer, and of course, Illini Inquirer alum. We're proud of what he is doing at 24/7 Sports National, but we're going to bring him on and later this week and break it all down from a national and Big Ten perspective. Of course, it's a slower week a little bit because of the holidays, but we've had plenty of content at Illini Inquirer, a lot of football content coming out. I've written stories on Luke Altmyer and what's next for him, in-state, JUCO recruiting. Joey Wagner just had a piece up today about the Illini DBs. Rough year How do they bounce back? And I got a piece coming up with Aaron Henry talking about potential changes he has to make to his defensive scheme, to his defensive approach, and what Illinois needs to do better entering year two of him as a defensive play caller, because it needs to be better, and he knows that. And I thought it was an interesting conversation. So we'll have that up at Illini Inquirer here in the coming days. We got basketball recruiting happening, and of course, a top 15 basketball team to potentially talk about here, and Illinois heading into Big Ten play with plenty of momentum. So it's going to be an exciting Big Ten basketball season. We'll cover it all at Illini Inquirer. Still have a chance to get 60% off a VIP membership. If you're not a VIP member already, that's more than $70 of savings. If you think about it, it's less than $4 a month of the most in-depth, intense Illini coverage. We appreciate all you listening on the podcast. We appreciate everybody who watches on YouTube channel, but the way you can support us most is with that VIP membership. And just recorded VIP film room with Michael Tuop. That alone, him and Jay Layman, that alone is worth the VIP membership. So check it out if you haven't already. That sale goes through New Year's Day, basically. So you can check that out at Illini Inquirer. Thank you so much for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a rating, review, follow wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on that YouTube channel as well. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.